is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this morning. And we are previewing the NFC West this week. The Arizona Cardinals were a playoff team last year, but there was a tale of two seasons. They were 10-1 at one point and then started to fall apart a little bit, losing four of their last five and then losing to the Rams in the postseason. And this offseason, they even made bigger news with the big story of the clause in Kyler Murray's contract and the PED suspension for DeAndre Hopkins. Howard Balzer joins us from Sports Illustrated to talk Arizona Cardinals in the 2022 version and a little of the 2021 version as well. How are you, Howard? Thanks for joining us.
Doing well, Tony. How are you doing?
Good. Before we get to this upcoming season, let's go back. I don't want to discount any wins. You earned those wins. But is this a team that was a good team that fell at the end, or was this a team that overachieved?
I think there might have been a little bit of overachievement when you're undefeated at 7-0 and ran up that record. But they were certainly a good team, a very good team. And down the stretch, it was almost as if whatever could go wrong went wrong. And I know the narrative a lot of times is, well, Cliff Kingsbury, whenever he's been a head coach, they have, and his teams have end of season collapses. Well, to go back to college is a little far afield when you realize that at Texas Tech, they weren't that good a football team, and they beat up on the beginning part of the schedule, and then they'd start playing the good teams in the conference, and they weren't as good as those teams. And so that to me, kind of that's an easy way out of the narrative. And when you consider how injured the Cardinals were in that second part of the season at the running back position with James Conner and Chase Edmonds, they only played one game together in the final nine games of the season. Kyler Murray injured his ankle. When he came back, he wasn't the same player. They, of course, lost DeAndre Hopkins. They had key defensive players missing. Of course, J.J. Watt went out in the game when they got to undefeated at 7-0. And there were some other injuries in addition. And so, like I said, it was just one of those things where they couldn't keep people healthy. The offensive line was banged up. So I think it was a good football team that couldn't finish for a variety of reasons. Now, you know, this season, they make some changes, but they're still going to miss DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games. And you wonder how this team will be. It's hard to imagine them let's put it this way. They could be a better team this season, but not win as many games as they did last year at 11. But I still think that they should be in the hunt for a playoff spot. But as it is in the NFL, it's kind of a cliche to say you need to stay healthy. And if you can do that, not lose too many players, then they're going to be a formidable opponent for anybody.
Let's talk about Kyler Murray a bit towards the end of that season and how much did that ankle injury was still lingering at the end. Because at the beginning of the season, when you get a team 7-0, there's a lot of MVP chatter. And he took a lot of arrows for the way that team played at the end, especially in the playoff against the Rams.
No, he definitely did. And, you know, as I noted, I mean, his passer rating after the game against Green Bay, which is when he got hurt, his passer rating was around 110. Then he missed three games. And in the rest of the regular season games, his passer rating was about 89. So that's a difference of more than 20 rating points.
Yeah.
And then it was even worse in the playoff game. And they had about, I'm going to say conservatively, five or six players on offense that played in that playoff game against the Rams that if it was a regular season game, probably would not have played because of injuries. And so I know the quarterback, the coach, the play caller, the quarterback always get probably too much of the credit when a team wins and too much of the blame when they lose. And so, but there were a lot of things that happened. And Murray was not the same guy when he came back from that ankle injury. He wasn't running. He wasn't as mobile. He wasn't able to escape the rush as quickly as he often was able to do in the first part of the season. And quite frankly, it was similar the year before when they also finished poorly. And that happened after he injured his shoulder in the second Seattle game and became a much different player because he didn't want to take hits on that shoulder. And the team didn't do well down the stretch and had a chance to make the playoffs in the final game of the regular season against the Rams. And Murray had another injury and left early in that game. So to me, all the discussion about him and his contract and his leadership and the homework clause and all that, to me, the elephant in the room with Kyler Murray still is, at his size, can he stay healthy for an entire season through the grind of 17 regular season games and be at the top of his game at the end of the year like he usually is at the beginning?
And for six of those games this season, he will not have DeAndre Hopkins available. They do get Hollywood Brown. What is, in terms of that addition, what does it mean for them in those six games? How much is going to be on him?
A lot will be on him. There's no doubt about it. Because obviously they have other players that can make plays. They're going to use Rondale Moore a lot more as a slot guy after the departure of Christian Kirk. They expect A.J. Green, his second year in the system. They still believe he has a lot left. And one of their keys, though, as I mentioned earlier, the running backs, James Conner and Chase Edmonds. Well, Chase Edmonds isn't there. He left for Miami as a free agent. They still, of course, have Conner. They have to figure out who's their number two running back, whether it's Darrell Williams, who they signed, who'd been with the Chiefs, whether it's Eno Benjamin, who's looked pretty good in camp. But whoever it is at that number 2/3 spot, they have to use them because they can't overwork James Conner. And so that's going to be a big part of that early part of the season. And then when you look at the tight ends, they picked up Zach Ertz during last season. I can't even imagine where they would have been in those games near the end of the season if they didn't have him, even though they still lost anyway. And then they drafted in the second round Trey McBride, who they expect to contribute. So those are going to be key guys that, as a group, no one guy is going to replace DeAndre Hopkins, although Brown can be capable of doing that. But they're going to need all of those different players contributing and the offensive line staying healthy and playing better, for the running game and for Murray so he doesn't have to run as much.
They seem to have spent money keeping guys on the team. Was there a need on the offensive side of the ball that they should have spent some money on?
Well, one guy, they didn't spend a lot of money, but they believe he's going to help the physicality on the offensive line, was Will Hernandez, who was going to be the starter at right guard. But I'm not sure what else they really could have done. Perhaps maybe you could make the argument they could have spent some more money on a running back, but we know how dangerous that can be. And of course they did acquire Hollywood Brown at the receiver spot, so I don't see too much in terms of free agents. You're right about re-signing guys, and that was key, getting Conner back, getting Zach Ertz back. So those were definite key moves for them on offense. And so I don't know what else they could have done there defensively. There's going to be a challenge there. Their depth at cornerback is questionable. They lost Chandler Jones in free agency. And so they have to figure out from about five or six guys opposite Marcus Golden, who's going to be, just like with Hopkins, you're not going to replace Chandler Jones with one guy, but they're probably going to use a variety of players at that spot to hope to be able to get a pass rush and take some of the pressure off that secondary. So the defense, to me, are the biggest questions, Tony, going into the regular season, because this is certainly a team that's capable in any game of scoring 30 points. But you don't want to feel as a team that you have to score 30 points in order to win. And so that's going to be the challenge for this team, is to play pretty good defense and try to limit teams to a lot fewer points so the offense isn't pressured to always having to have a huge game.
I was hoping you could touch on that with Chandler Jones, because we see it a lot where, especially at running back, if you lose a big running back, you can try to statistically, get some equal value with maybe two guys. But Chandler Jones, you're right. They're not going to be able to do that with different people. But how is the defense going to look without him?
Yeah, that's the question of the day. And, they do have some guys coming back, Dennis Gardeck and Devon Kennard, but they've been there the last couple of years. Gardeck had 7 sacks and only like 96 snaps 2 seasons ago. And he's a real high motor type of guy. Didn't have any last year, but he was coming back from an ACL. Then they have a bunch of young guys, 2 third round picks, Myjai Sanders and Cameron Thomas, Victor Damukeje, who was a 6th round pick last year, had a couple sacks in the preseason opener. They like his athletic ability. Another guy, Jesse Luketa, who they drafted in the 7th round. So there, I think I just named 6 outside linebackers that are going to be competing. They're not. I wouldn't think they're all going to make the team. It's hard to imagine that they would. And Marcus Golden on the other side, he led the team in sacks last year. So from that other group, that's where they're going to have to find, whether it's two guys, whether it's three guys, to get some consistent pressure on the quarterback. But I'll tell you, no one talks too much, Tony, about the interior of the defensive line, because we all know your pass rush is better when you're forcing teams into obvious passing situations, which a lot of times means stopping the run. And the Cardinals were very inconsistent with that. They'd have a great game like they did against the Titans and Derrick Henry. Then they'd have a couple of bad ones where they gave up a lot of rushing yards. And if you're doing that, then you're making it very difficult to get a consistent pass rush. So those are a lot of the things that they have to answer. Once again, some young guys they have on the defensive line, along with a healthy J.J. Watt, is going to be key for this team to be able to play good team defense.
I want to get a big picture here, Harold. I here in Nashville, it's easy for me to look at Arizona, just wins and losses and statistics and numbers, and see them every now and then and see some highlights. But the overall picture of Cliff Kingsbury, I remember when he got hired and I went, wow, here's a guy that isn't even working in college, and yet now he's made this leap to the NFL. But I know his reputation. What has it been like there? How has he grown into the job? Are we starting to see his identity impressed on this team now that they found their quarterback?
Yeah, I think he's maligned sometimes unfairly, but I think he has grown, and he seems much more loose now around us. In the media, I don't know how much that really means, but he seems a little bit looser, a little self-deprecating at times. But I do think that he knows players, and he knows how to handle a team in terms of when to work hard, when to let up a little bit. And how to do all that. And so I think, like I said, I think he's shown progress. And hey, the reality is that when he took over this team, let's remember, they had Kyler Murray was their draft. He was the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Because they earned that first pick in the draft with only three wins the year before. In the 3 years that he's been there, they then won 5, then 8, and then 11. So I'm not saying the guy's one of the great coaches around, or that he's perfect and doesn't need to continue to improve, but the improvement has been steady since he has been the head coach of this football team. And so, once again, as I alluded to earlier, I don't know if it's hard for me to imagine they're going to win more than 11 because it's a pretty tough division still. But I think the NFC overall doesn't have as many teams at the top as the AFC does, but still, 11 wins, even in a 17-game season, is a pretty darn good year. So
sure is.
I see them in that 10 to 11 area. But as you mentioned, without Hopkins, and here's a crazy part, the first three games of the season are against the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Rams. And so they've gotten off to good starts the last two seasons, and that's going to be a challenge to be able to do that coming out of the gate on September 11th.
Howard Balls of Sports Illustrated on the Arizona Cardinals, helping us preview that team during our NFC West week. Really appreciate it. Always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Tony. Take care.
Howard Balzer, again, Sports Illustrated on the Arizona Cardinals as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.